the mysteries of the unknown, UFOs, alien abductions, wonders of the world, ancient archaeology, ghosts, apparitions, secret military projects, futuristic science, government cover-ups, hoaxes and frauds. Join us as we embark on another edition of the Paranet Continuum. Now, answering questions and questioning answers, here's your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of the Paranet Continuum, home of common sense, no-nonsense paranormal talk radio. There's quite a bit going on down here tonight where I'm at. I want to first of all congratulate the Denver Broncos for their win of the World Championship, Super Bowl 32. Where I'm sitting down here in downtown Denver, I don't know, a lot of you in the national audience are probably hearing this, maybe have seen some of what's going on down here, but it's gotten very crazy. We're kind of almost in the middle of it here at our studio in downtown Denver, where there's apparently some very unruly, happy Denver Bronco fans, and a lot of stuff is going on down there with the police department. I also want to congratulate Green Bay for one heck of a game. They tried. Tonight, we are going to be talking about a very serious topic. It has to do with some political intrigue, a lot of things like that happened in the 80s, and it has far-reaching implications, and we're going to be talking with my guest tonight who is going to be talking about this. It's known as the Franklin cover-up, and it's something about a very, very insidious scandal that takes place in Omaha, Nebraska, but as I mentioned before, not just in Omaha, but it has far-reaching national and also international implications. And although this topic tonight will not discuss UFOs and that type of thing, we're going to be talking something about we've talked about this many times on the program before, the infamous CIA's mind control experimentation known as MKUltra. Apparently, this investigator started out investigating a credit union in Omaha, Nebraska, and this investigation, despite the fact that there were also a trail of bodies involved in this thing, it kind of got into some kind of a very insidious ring of people that deal in mind control, Satanism, and a couple of other little nasty, nasty little things. We're going to talk about that tonight. But first, I want to talk a little bit about the recent thing on UPN that occurred last week. I believe it was Monday or Tuesday night. As you remember, we reported on this program last week about the upcoming program that was going to be shown on UPN nationally, dealing with what is known as the incident at Lake County, Minnesota. Now, I'm sure, judging from the type of program that it was, a lot of people probably saw that program. I haven't seen the ratings or anything for that program, but I'm assuming that it probably racked up the same kind of ratings that the alien autopsy film did as well. But as you remember, we reported that some people were already starting to cry foul on that case, and just kind of give you an update, or kind of a background on it. This case involved a family of people who were living in Lake County, Minnesota. And by the way, Lake County is a large, large county in Minnesota, and it was, you know, we never really did get a town name, a name of a town, or where these people were in Lake County. But anyway, allegedly a family getting ready to sit down and enjoy a Thanksgiving dinner were filming this, and all of a sudden some events take place and they start to film what turns out to be allegedly an alien abduction scenario that has been caught on videotape. Now, of course, if this incident is real, it's unprecedented in ufology, because it is the first time that something of this magnitude has been caught on videotape, including, as you saw it, a picture or parts of the picture of the videotape showing aliens using some type of a laser device reportedly cutting open or operating on an animal, a cow or whatever the heck it was, but then discovering that these people are filming them, they shoot the laser toward the camera and supposedly burn the hand of the fellow that's filming it. Anyway, the video is quite remarkable and quite interesting. But at this particular point, my opinion is that I'm going to call this a hoax. A plain, downright, absolute hoax, kind of like along the lines of the alien autopsy film. My reasons for it are the following. Number one, I was quite unimpressed with the way that the little girl behaved. Now, they had a 10-year-old girl in the home with them, and this 10-year-old girl, there's one part in the video where there is some kind of a sound that starts to emanate, and all of the people, all the adults in the house are starting to hold their ears and complain that they're hurting because there's some kind of a sound being generated. One of the adults is carrying the little 10-year-old girl who seems to be completely, totally unaffected by this. I also noted throughout the entire video production of this thing that the 10-year-old girl at no time appeared to be scared or frightened or unsure of what the outcome of it was going to be. Now, what was interesting is that UPN attempted to cover up, or not cover up, but to dismiss this by having a psychologist come on the program who made a small little cameo appearance. And he said, well, it's quite disturbing, but my belief is that the girl is possessed by the aliens. And I was kind of left kind of hanging in the air with that. The other thing that was kind of odd to me was the fact that at some point they're getting ready to go outside and they've got the camera, and we see what appears to be a ball of light come through the window just above the front door and race through the house making some bizarre noise, and then it strikes one of the adult occupants and knocks her to the floor. And she's either unconscious or dead, but we're never told at any point throughout the thing what her status is, what kind of problem she had, or if she ever recovered or anything. But the thing that clinched it for me, and this is kind of interesting, the thing that clinched it for me as it being a hoax was the end of the program when they're rolling credits. They put up, the UPN puts up a cameo deal, kind of like the Brady Bunch, okay? All of these people that appeared in this video. What really, really got me was the fact that these people were posed, okay? They were posed. Now, they weren't posed. In other words, these were not clippings that were freeze-framed out of the video production and put up there. But these were actually posed shots, publicity kind of photos of each one of the individuals that participated in the video. And I thought, well, now, if they've disappeared and they're gone, then how would they get them to pose? Because according to the video, the family is still missing. But if they're gone and they were abducted and they haven't been seen from since, how were they able to get these people to pose for publicity shots? And, of course, it just doesn't make any sense to me that they would pose for publicity shots prior to shooting the film of just a typical Thanksgiving dinner. So I found that the production had zero, absolute zero credibility. But it did have some good dramatics. It was a good dramatization, and I thought it was interesting. Now, what's a little disturbing to me is the people that backed it. Of course, one of the most prominent, well-known people in the field of ufology to back this is Stanton Friedman, who appeared on the program and basically talking in favor of this case. And, of course, several other people, and Yvonne Smith, I think, from L.A., the L.A. area, who's an abduction therapist, and then, of course, an abductee who informs us that, you know, this is a typical abduction, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, nevertheless, I found this to be just absolutely garbage. I hate to be so blunt about it. And I'm kind of curious what you out there in the audience think. If you can give us a call at 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. I'd kind of be curious to hear what you thought about it, too, because I do know I've gotten a lot of calls and a lot of emails from people wanting to know my opinion about what this video was. And we're going to also try during this hour to get someone from Lake County Sheriff's Department on the air with us to maybe tell us what's going on up there in Lake County, wherever the heck this is, and try to find out what happened to the McPherson family. My suspicion is that they're probably in the Caribbean somewhere or in the Bahamas, enjoying nice cocktails on a sun-drenched beach, celebrating their little victory in trying to fool us over what is not an abduction experience, but maybe just a real well-done video enactment of something like that. Anyway, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll take your calls. Again, the number is 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's best personal computer just for you. Better, stronger, faster than it was before. We have a stark ambition to make your computer everything you need it to be. You've had it in your dreams, now get it in your computer. Better monitors, stronger, bigger hard drives, faster processors and modems. You can have the technology the government can't cover up at prices far below what the Defense Department pays for a paperclip. Call Stark Ambition today at 303-809-0274 or visit our website at www.starknet.com. Call for the best prices on components, new systems, service and repair on single units and networks. On the information superhighway, it's better to travel with a nerd. So get yours today and put our Stark Ambition to work for you. Call Stark Ambition 303-809-0274 or see our price list on the web at www.starknet.com.
Are you sick and tired of the same old UFO magazines? Paranet has the cure. Continuum. Paranet's quarterly magazine is packed with stories you're not used to seeing in the other magazines. There's a regular series on the need to establish a first contact science, written by a psychologist on the alien abduction phenomenon. You'll find interviews with Paranet's fascinating guests, late-breaking news from the worlds of science, ufology, and the paranormal, intriguing discussions from Paranet's news groups on the Internet, and their sighting reports, book reviews, and much more. A subscription to Continuum is only $18 for 4 quarterly issues. Call now to order Continuum at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. MasterCard and Visa accepted. Continuum, Paranet's cure for the UFO blues. Call 1-800-836-6381 and order Continuum today. The Paranet Continuum is produced by Paranet Information Services, the world's oldest and most respected network of the paranormal. Now back to your host, the director of Paranet, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Now, while we're trying to get our guest on the program tonight, we're going to take calls, kind of an open line situation. I'm kind of curious what you think. Did those people in Lake County, Minnesota, northern Minnesota, up there around the Canadian border, were they really abducted? Was that videotape for real, or was it a hoax? And we've got some callers now we're going to talk to. We've got David calling in from our affiliate in Kansas City, KCMO. Good evening, David. Bank 2, Greg. David. David? Hello, David. Let's see, we got him. Let's try putting him on hold and then bring him back up. I'm on the caller bank. David, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike.
Yeah, okay, there we go. Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Sound like we had a bad connection.
No, we have a little bit of technical problem once in a while down here. What's going on?
Well, I heard what you were saying about this new video in Minnesota, and I'm not fully aware of the circumstances surrounding that particular documentary, but I heard you mention that you have a problem with the alien autopsy footage, and I know that Stanton Friedman is a well-respected researcher.
Right.
He's done a lot of legwork on this case, and I think that... from everything we know so far, the alien autopsy video is for real. Ray Santilli kept the identity of the original photographer secret, but the, as you well know, he did try to come forward and tell his story at the risk of losing his life from what we know so far.
Uh-huh.
And I've listened to your program on a number of occasions. I'm an armchair UFO researcher myself, and I have the feeling that you tend to debunk things pretty quickly without doing any homework on your own.
Well, I disagree with you, David, because I do a lot of homework. I've been at this since 1989 myself, and am pretty well plugged into what's going on. And I think pretty much the way people believe out there, among the serious ufologists, is that the alien autopsy footage is a hoax.
Well, that's your opinion, Mike, but I don't think that the evidence will support that conclusion.
It's my opinion, of course, yes, but until someone comes forth, you know, extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof, and of course Santilli has never produced. I mean, he can say all he wants to say. That doesn't make the video real.
Well, one other comment I'd like to make, if I could, real
sure,
quick, Mike. Are you aware of the Billy Meyer case in Switzerland and the extraordinary photographs and video, or actually 8mm movie film that Billy Meyer took of the alien craft,
Right. Namely
the Pleiadians?
Uh-huh, which I think is a fraud, too.
Well, you think, it seems to me, Mike, and I just say this with all due respect, but I get the impression that you think everything is a fraud, and I wonder who you're working for.
I work for me. No, you see, the thing is that, you know, this is the kind of thing that, David, that I would really like to see people do away with or not think this way. Because, number one, you know, we're dealing with a situation. I firmly believe that something is going on. I'm a skeptical believer, and I've always said that on the program. But what we're dealing with here is we're dealing with a situation where, you know, it seems to muddy the waters and distract us from the real work of what we should really be doing.
Well, what should we be
doing? We should be out there in the field collecting data and continuing to analyze the data.
Is that not what Billy Meyer did?
No, there's no. There, I don't see anything scientific going on with that at all.
He took over 3,000 clear color close up.
Well, again,
photos in your beam shield.
Yeah, but see, I think you'll have to agree, David, that photographs don't prove the existence of UFOs. I mean, photographs are very good to have, but you know, the technology today, you can do it on your computer. You can mix, you know, you can manipulate pixels and do all kinds of things like that with it. And, you know, you can do anything you want with a photograph.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the technology, the technical aspect of it all. We have the ability to discern more today than ever before the authenticity of a photograph through color spectral analysis and other methods. And I think you're going way beyond the scope of reason when you say that photographs are not concrete evidence.
Well,
There's more concrete evidence today than ever before.
Well, has that been done with Billy Meyer's photographs?
Oh, absolutely. Every scientist in the world has examined the photographs.
Name one. I don't know of who you're talking about when you say every scientist in the world. Who? Name one.
Well, I know that they were given to just about every country in the world. He distributed the photographs to everybody that I know of. In terms of,
Yeah, but can you name a scientist that has...
Well, no, I can't right off the bat.
Well, you just said that every scientist in the world has seen it.
Well, this is what I've read.
Yeah, well, okay. That's what I'm saying. Nothing is forthcoming as far as any proof.
Well, I think photographs are more proof today than ever before.
Well, I don't. I think we have to kick the tires of one, or at least... You know, this is the thing I'm saying. My opinion is that the Billy Meyer's photographs are all hoaxes as well. But the thing is that, you know, we spend way too much time proclaiming the reality of the phenomena based upon all of this crap that people say, and nobody produces any proof. And again, Santilli, the same kind of thing. It's wonderful and good, you know, to come out with a videotape showing this procedure, but when it comes right down to, you know, where the rubber meets the road, what do we have? Nothing.
Can you tell me of any UFO encounter case that you do agree with as authentic?
I'm sorry, what was that question?
Tell me of any UFO encounter case that you agree is authentic.
Yeah, I think that one of the things I think is the Travis Walton abduction case is good, and I also think that the Betty and Barney Hill case has a lot of merit to it.
Well, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I just wonder why you dispose of everything else systematically.
Well, again, I think we need to have more work done on it before we make any proclamations. It's interesting. And the way I always do things is I put them on the back burner and keep them in the interesting pile. But until we have something further coming down the line, I think we got to take it slow and make sure that we don't go on with that. Okay, we got John calling in from Boise, Idaho. Good evening, John.
Yeah, I was calling you ask about the that show that they had on that docudrama.
Right.
That was a total hoax.
I agree. Why do you? What was your? What makes you say that?
I heard it on one of the other talk shows, the late night one,
because
I work at night, so I listen to most of the talk shows. And he had a guy call in to him, and he said he met one of the people that was supposedly abducted.
Uh huh.
met him in Canada. So, he was up there on vacation.
There you go.
He met one of the guys up there because the people were talking about it, and the guy come up and said, "Hey, I was one of them."
Why? Well, did you see it? Did you see the video?
No, I saw parts of it because I had to work about that time.
I watched it from start to finish. Again, it was a really interesting documentary. I mean, a dramatization, but God, it's not
it
real.
Was. Yeah, but, the guy, he's got two shows on. One of them just prior to yours on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Greenland.
Uh-huh.
And he had called in there, and if you want it, he's got it up on his, that Billy Myers stuff. He's got all that up on his webpage.
Okay. John, we got to move along. I want to thank you for calling.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take one more call, and we're going to go to break. We've got our guest on the line, too, as well, so stand by for that. Kim's calling in from Kansas City, Missouri on KCMO. Good evening, Kim.
Hi. First-time listener tonight. I wanted to say I'm not really much on UFOs yet. I find it interesting and all, but I didn't see the documentary you were talking about. However, I did see the alien autopsy.
Mm-hmm.
And without seeing the documentary you were talking about earlier, I tend to believe you in saying that it was false from the little girl's reaction and the people that were posed in the pictures. However, how do you, what kind of basis do you stand on, other than pictures being doctored up and whatnot, what would make you believe that the autopsy was not real?
Well, again, you know, I as I said earlier just a moment ago, I tend to take things like that and put them into an interesting pile until there's more proof to support. You know, in other words, the autopsy video footage was good and well done, I might add, too. I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Right.
That whoever did this spent some bucks to do it. But, of course, we found out, too, that they made a lot of money by airing it.
Sure.
But as far as I'm concerned, until, you know, like, for example, Santilli did not produce the original photographer like he said he would.
Right.
He got very obscure, you know, he got very obscure, evasive in the whole thing. He kind of disappeared, and nothing came forth on it.
Right.
So I say that, you know, look, the alien autopsy film could be real, that this dramatization thing that this up in Lake County, Minnesota could be real. But I just, you know, there's nothing forthcoming to support it. And I say until we have that kind of thing come forth or until more investigation is done and there's things that support it,
sure,
we have to say, okay, that's interesting, but that's as far as we take it.
Right.
Okay?
Great. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot. Keep listening.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have John DeCamp joining us. He is the author of the book, The Franklin Cover-Up. And this is some pretty dark, insidious material, I really must admit. Very, very serious topic tonight. Stay tuned for that. 1-800-836-2009. Of course, we'll be taking your calls as well. I'm Michael Corbin. This is the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
Paranet has been on the information superhighway since before there was an internet. And during the last 11 years, we've collected an incredible amount of information on UFOs and the paranormal, and you can see all of it on our website. The address is www.paranet.org/paranet. See what Michael Corbin really looks like. Is he a modern-day Orson Welles? Or go to our news page and keep up with the latest happenings in ufology and the paranormal. Click on other interesting sites from our links page. File a UFO sighting report. Read about Continuum Magazine. See the Paranet Radio Studio. Download free pictures of UFOs. Join Paranet online using your Visa or MasterCard. You'll be authorized within minutes to see all 30 megabytes of files and pictures and nearly 200 real audio files of the Paranet Continuum Radio shows dating back to April of 1994. You'll find it all at the Paranet website at www.paranet.org/paranet. Some say the truth is out there. Sometimes we're not so sure. Call in and tell us what you think on the Paranet Continuum. Now, back to your host, Michael Corbett.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. You know, we're still getting calls on this Lake County, Minnesota deal. I want to keep the interest going in that because we might want to touch on that during the second hour tonight. But nevertheless, I want to thank you for your calls, and I'm interested in hearing your opinion on it. You can do a couple of things if you want to. And, of course, David, even out there in Kansas City, who disagrees with me, I really would like to hear from those people as well. You can reach me at 303-863-0484, and that's during the week. And then, of course, you can send email to me at mcorbin@dimensional.com. That number I gave you, 303-863-0484, is my voice and fax number. And, of course, you can send me email as well. I'd love to hear your opinions about that Lake County, Minnesota. And as we speak, one of my producers is on the phone trying to get a hold of the Lake County Sheriff's Department to find out if we can get any kind of an update on what happened to this family up there, the McPherson family, up there in Minnesota. So we'll get to that. If we find out anything, I'll let you know just as soon as we do. Okay, now, let's move on to our topic at hand tonight. We're going to be talking about a very, very interesting scandal. My guest has investigated this extensively and has written a book on it. And the book has been revised and recently revised and published again. And it's a very sick situation. And the reason that we're going to be talking about this on the program tonight is because his investigation has revealed something that has very far-reaching implications. We've talked about this kind of stuff on the program before regarding, the mind control aspect of the government's military intelligence operations over the last few years, known as MKUltra. Whether or not this touches on that, we're going to find out. But my guest tonight has spent 16 years in office as a state senator. He was cited even by his enemies at the World Herald as one of the most effective legislators in Nebraska history. He is a highly decorated Vietnam War veteran. In 1975, he initiated Operation Baby Lift, which evacuated 2,800 orphaned Vietnamese children. He practices law in Lincoln, Nebraska. He's married and is the father of four children. It's my pleasure to welcome to the program tonight, John DeCamp. Which line? Hold on here. Four. He's on four. Okay. John, are you there?
I am indeed.
I apologize.
Old and all.
Oh.
Barely able to talk. We have the flu sweeping Nebraska like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, oh.
30-40% of the kids in the schools are out, and now it got to me.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I've heard it's bad here in Denver too. Our emergency rooms have been packed with people and long waits and everything like that. It just doesn't seem to want to to let up. But anyway, let's get to the topic here. Your book is called The Franklin Cover Up: Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska.
And I suppose that's a little bit misleading because the book really deals more with Washington and politics and the whole picture there than Nebraska. But Nebraska was where I was and where it started and where I got involved in this particular situation. So I guess that's what we put on the cover of the book.
Okay, let's for my audience who's probably may or may not have heard of this, kind of frame this up for us. What took place? What's going on out there?
Well, the book itself details an incident that started with a collapse of a federal credit union in Omaha, Nebraska, called the Franklin Credit Union, hence the name the Franklin Cover-Up. And it started out, as they say, it was a minority credit union in North Omaha, back in the late 1980s when SNLs and all kinds of financial problems were going on with
right.
a lot of the
mm-hmm.
institutions. This was just one more that the Fed stepped in and closed up and said, there looks like there's some money missing and some blunders and what looked like a fairly routine mishandling of funds
right.
started rapidly turning into far, far more serious and complex matters. Kids on the street started talking about the man that ran the place, a man named Larry King. This was a black man.
Yeah, not the talk show host, Larry King, right?
Oh, no, there's another one.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, Larry was officially, according to the New York Times and the Washington Post and so on, he was officially the fastest rising black star in the Republican Party. I had known Larry only briefly from a distance almost. I was chairman, head of the Nebraska Senate's Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee, and fairly prominent Republican here. I was number one vote getter in Nebraska to go to the Republican National Conventions pledged to Bush and Reagan and all these various other folk. And it was at the National Convention, some of the folk may remember, listening in 1984.
Uh-huh.
And in 1988, Larry King was the man that opened both of those national conventions singing the national anthem. So he was a mover and a shaker within the Republican Party, and he ran this little credit union. Well, as I say, these stories started coming out on the street and filtering into the legislature. There was a lot more to the collapse of the credit union than just some blunders on some money.
Mm-hmm.
The stories started to come about from these kids about how they all knew Larry King, how they had been in private jets with him on his way to Washington to go and meet with this politician. And I'm talking politicians right up to the very highest, right up the steps of the White House.
Okay.
And so the legislature back then did what it's supposed to do, and that is began its official investigation to see if there was any impropriety or mistakes or laws needed changing or whatever. And I was out of the legislature at that time. This was just a couple of years after I got out and practicing private law, and I was the attorney for the senator that was put in charge of this investigation, a man named Lauren Schmidt, Senator Schmidt. And as things would have it, these tales and stories started being looked into, and I was one of the first that made a comment that, well, they had to officially be looked into, but obviously they were getting sillier and sillier and sounding crazier and crazier, and some of the accusations these stories had would be like they'd been on this private jet or that private jet to this famous party or that, and been used for hauling drugs, the kids were couriers, and that they were being used in all kinds of sexual encounters and activities with policemen. With the various politicians all over the country, you name it, just one after another incident. As I say, I was one of the first ones that said, well, this all has to be nonsense, and said it publicly. I also said something else. I said, if any of this were really true, I'd be the first to step in and insist that you know, prosecutors prosecute and they do something about it. Well, as time passed and we learned more and I learned more and things evolved, it became real clear to me that what I thought was impossible was not only possible, but went way, way, way beyond anything I had dreamed, and a lot deeper and higher in terms of its impact on American politics. And some of the most prominent people whose names you'd instantly recognize were involved, and I was one of the ones then that came out first and said, well, there's something wrong here. Prosecutors who should be prosecuting aren't, and politicians who should be exposing are doing the opposite, covering up, and this is pretty serious.
Okay, John, we're going to go to a break right now. When we come back, I want to get into some of the more the specifics of some of this stuff, including what you found out after the first publication of your book that prompted you to revise the edition and republish. My guest is John DeCamp. We're talking about his book, The Franklin Cover-Up, and this does get a lot more interesting, too, as we go along with this. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. I'm Michael Corbin. This is the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of the same old UFO magazines? Paranet has the cure. Continuum. Paranet's quarterly magazine is packed with stories you're not used to seeing in the other magazines. There's a regular series on the need to establish a first contact science, written by a psychologist on the alien abduction phenomenon. You'll find interviews with Paranet's fascinating guests, late-breaking news from the worlds of science, ufology, and the paranormal, intriguing discussions from Paranet's news groups on the Internet, and their sighting reports, book reviews, and much more. A subscription to Continuum is only $18 for 4 quarterly issues. Call now to order Continuum at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. MasterCard and Visa accepted. Continuum, Paranet's cure for the UFO blues. Call 1-800-836-6381 and order Continuum today.
We can rebuild it. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's best personal computer just for you. Better, stronger, faster than it was before. We have a stark ambition to make your computer everything you need it to be. You've had it in your dreams, now get it in your computer. Better monitors, stronger, bigger hard drives, faster processors and modems. You can have the technology the government can't cover up at prices far below what the Defense Department pays for a paperclip. Call Stark Ambition today at 303-809-0274 or visit our website at www.starknet.com. Call for the best prices on components, new systems, service and repair on single units and networks. On the information superhighway, it's better to travel with a nerd. So get yours today and put our Stark Ambition to work for you. Call Stark Ambition 303-809-0274 or see our price list on the web at www.starknet.com.
When it comes to UFOs, it's important to keep an open mind, but not as open as, say, a refuse can. We separate the facts from the garbage on the Paranet Continuum. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And the number again is 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. As you just heard, we do separate the facts from the garbage. Got a report for you. One of the producers called the Lake County Sheriff's Department regarding the this UPN special that aired last week. And as I kind of expected, they knew nothing about it other than the fact that they did say that they had received, after the airing of that program, they received a lot of calls. They said that they have never had a McPherson family at all in Lake County, Minnesota, nor have they got an officer or a sheriff tippet. UPN had someone appear in a sheriff's uniform, which kind of looked hokey too. And this guy claims, you know, that they found the videotape after the family had disappeared, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, they don't even have that investigator. Now, some of you conspiracy-minded people out there are going to say, well, they're covering up. But, I'm standing firm on this. I'm calling it a hoax. And we also got a call from Dan in Juneau, Alaska. He said that the National Enquirer, the Globe, and the Sun all have tried to locate the McPhersons and couldn't. So they're finding out, too, that there's no such animal as a McPherson, at least in Lake County, Minnesota, that has had this experience. So here we go. So those of you out there, I'm still kind of curious to hear what you think about it. I would also kind of like to hear your spin on why people like UPN get by with doing stuff like this, knowing full well, and I think they did, that's my opinion, of course, that they knew full well that this was all bogus, and maybe even, possibly might have had some hand in it, so I don't know. But we're going to try and find out as the week progresses. Maybe I'll have another report next week. Okay, back to my guest, former State Senator John DeCamp and the Franklin cover-up. And John, welcome back to the program.
Yes, I'm here, still talking. Wow.
Okay, I appreciate you being with us tonight. Now, let's kind of get, we got kind of a short segment to get some of the stuff in, but we got another hour to do this after this. But concerning this thing now, you got into the middle of this starting out as a investigator into some banking irregularities, and of course it developed into this whole business of child abuse and that type of thing. What kinds of things did you find?
Well, the kinds of things that the professional investigation team, the one financed by the legislature that had pretty much unlimited money at the time and hired some pretty good people, they found that the night before their investigator was to testify and lay out everything, and present the material to the Senate. He called from Washington, D.C. He called from Washington, or no, I say, take that, but he called from Chicago to the Senate committee and said, well, I've got it now, and I'll be there. And he was flying his own plane back. He got blown up in the air with his 8-year-old son and was killed. From there, the situation really deteriorated. The children who had provided information one after another were charged with allegedly perjury and making all this up. They had a grand jury. To make a long, long story short, very, very few of the people really involved deeply in it ended up in prison, with the exception of Larry King and a couple others I had named in a famous memorandum back here at the time.
Is Larry King on the streets today?
Larry King is in top security right there in a state called Colorado. He's just been moved there.
You're kidding.
Nope.
Oh, God.
Down at a place called Florence?
Yeah, Florence. That's the new...
right down the road.
We call that the Big Max or something like that. Big security prison here. That's very interesting.
At least that's where I just found out he was, and I had to go through all kinds of difficulty to get that. He was quietly moved without telling anybody here recently, and because I had a lawsuit on behalf of some of these children in which he was named, civil rights case in which he was named, we were finally able to locate him.
Okay.
So it's more than a little interesting, but the reason I even wrote this book, you've got to understand, I'm not a book author, and quite frankly, I'm not sure that I would have ever written a book, except it was a kind of a life insurance policy. I had a very close friend, mentor, godfather, like all of us have in life, I guess, a man named Bill Colby. Bill, as some of you may remember, was the former head of the Central Intelligence Agency,
right,
the CIA. And Bill was my boss in Vietnam, and later we became law associates of sorts, and he, of course, was head of the CIA, and under Nixon and Ford. In fact, he was fired, if you may remember, in one of the most famous incidents involving the CIA. He was fired by President Ford because he went before the Senate and exposed at the time what were some very horrible things being committed by the CIA and tried to get them corrected, and he was fired, and then he was replaced. The man that replaced him was a man named George Bush. You may remember that.
Absolutely. Now, the thing that that Colby was exposing, would that have been MKUltra?
Pardon?
Was that MKUltra that was at the time the big thing that was coming out about the CIA?
Nope, that was not. It was a number of other things, and this goes back into the early 70s, things that they had done, attempted assassinations and some other things, and a whole bunch of improper activity, you know, covert activities that got out of control. In other words, violations of the law by the very agency that's supposed to be protecting us. Anyway, Bill got involved in this investigation, and was hired actually by the Senate to look into the death of the investigator, a man named Garrett Caradore, the one I mentioned was blown up in his airplane.
Right.
And, Bill came up with his conclusions, and about the time that this was reaching a real red-hot level, I went and sat down with Bill one day in Washington at his home there, and I said, look, you know, I don't know what to do. I just don't believe this is all happening or could happen, or that the cover-up is going on like it is. People who should be investigating and prosecuting are actually doing the opposite. Agencies like our own FBI, The ones we trust the most, believe in the most, the very heart of the system, are involved in corruption. And Bill sat me down and he said, well, listen, I said, well, what can I do? And he said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, you get as far away from this thing as you can, you forget it. And I said, wait a minute, you, the former head of the CIA, one of the most respected men I've ever known, you're telling me to walk away when I know these evil things are happening? He said, yeah. And I said, well, it doesn't make sense to me. And he says, well, listen, I'll tell you a story, and maybe there's a lesson in it for you. So he starts out, he says, you know, last night I returned here to the United States. He said, I just returned from Russia. Now, this was in 19, I'd have to look at my book, but I think 1991 or right in there, and it was 3 weeks, exactly, 3 weeks, before the famous Gorbachev deal where Gorby was
right.
Held hostage, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Just literally before the collapse of the Soviet Union. Anyway, and he said, yeah, he says, I was in Russia, Soviet Union, along with a number of other people whose names you would instantly recognize, he said. I said, what the blazes is the head of the CIA doing in Russia? And he says, well, we're there having meetings to make sure that nobody pushes a wrong button. Things are pretty tense and so on. And I says, uh-huh. And he says, I've got a story, and maybe there's a lesson in it for you.
Okay, now, I'm going to interrupt right there. I want you to hold that thought. When we come back, I want to hear about that story, okay?
Okay.
All right. 1-800-836-2009. 1-800-836-2009. We're talking with former Senator John W. DeCamp, the author of The Franklin Cover-Up, Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska. Right back after this.
Paranet has been on the information superhighway since before there was an internet, and during the last 11 years, we've collected an incredible amount of information on UFOs and the paranormal, and you can see all of it on our website. The address is www.paranet.org/paranet. See what Michael Corbin really looks like. Is he a modern-day Orson Welles? Or go to our news page and keep up with the latest happenings in ufology and the paranormal. Click on other interesting sites from our links page. File a UFO sighting report. Read about Continuum magazine. See the Paranet radio studio. Download free pictures of UFOs. Join Paranet online using your Visa or MasterCard. You'll be authorized within minutes to see all 30 megabytes of files and pictures and nearly 200 real audio files of the Paranet Continuum radio shows dating back to April of 1994. You'll find it all at the Paranet website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
Pilots depend on accurate, timely information, both in the cockpit and on the ground. Skyway Publications helps with both. The Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide provides convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that cater to pilots. These are free, pocket-sized guides with information on large and small airports nationwide, along with technical information, fuel and airport services, and businesses that can make life easier for pilots. Keep in mind, it's free. Check your local airport for the Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide, or call area 970-669-1800. Call Skyway today and find out how the guide can also be a financial opportunity for you. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Check your local airport or call Skyway at 970-669-1800.
Some say the truth is out there. Sometimes we're not so sure. Call in and tell us what you think on the Paranet Continuum. Now, back to your host, Michael Corbin.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Senator, we don't have much time left in this hour, but let's go back real quick in about a minute and a half. Let's talk about what Colby told you.
So Colby, he said, I was ready to come home from Russia. He says, you know, and I couldn't sleep. It was right there on Red Square, a big hotel there, he says, and couldn't sleep, so I decided I'd walk out and just get some exercise. Of course, that was forbidden in the middle of the night for the head of the CIA to be wandering around, but he said, I did it anyway. He said, they just ignored me. I walked right out into the Red Square, the most sacred place in all of Russia, and they just let me walk around in the middle of the night. And then he said, I realized it. It was over. And I said, what the blazes was over? He says, the Cold War that I'd dedicated my life to winning was over, and we'd won. Nobody cared in Russia anymore. It was over. They were collapsing. And I says, well, Bill, that all is well and good, but pray tell, what's my great lesson to learn? And he says, well, I realized as I was walking around there that the only celebration, the only victory parade I was ever going to get out of the battle of my life for having dedicated to winning the Cold War was this silent victory parade walking in the middle of the night in the heart of Russia in their own Kremlin in Red Square. And he says, well, that's all interesting, but what is my great lesson? And he says, well, what I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes there are forces too big, too powerful, and evil for you to deal with in the way you'd like, or maybe the time frame you'd like, but that doesn't mean you give up. It means you step aside rather than get yourself killed and fight him in the best way you can.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, but in this case, if you keep playing around with this, you're going to get yourself dead. And he says, I like you and your family and your kids, and I don't want that to happen. So I says, well, what are you telling me? I got to do something. He says, the best thing you can do is go out and tell the story and get the story to the American people through whatever press you can. So I went home, sat down, wrote the book, and in 93 or 4, the first book came out, and it pretty well detailed from A to Z the Franklin things, naming names, politicians, what was going on, the bringing into the drugs, impropriety by CIA and FBI and things like that. And I let it be at that. And,
okay. Now, John, we're going to have to stop right there because we're going to carry this into the second hour. During the second hour, I want to get into some of the names and some of the players and some of the things that have to do with the disturbing events that you uncovered that prompted the second edition of your book. So that'll be John DeCamp in the second hour, and that wraps it up for us tonight for the first hour. And I want to thank those of you out there who joined us for joining us, and we'll see you next week with more interesting guests and topics. And, of course, again, if you want to reach me, you can do so by calling 303-863-0484 during the week. And, of course, that's my voice and fax number. You can also write to me email at mcorbin@dimensional.com. And, of course, visit our website, www.paranet.org/paranet. That's it for us tonight. I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.